It's good to be back. I probably don't need this morning. I forgot my notes. But so you're going to have to listen to a noteless pastor. I'll tell you, I told you last week that I think I play the violin on one string. And so I hope the things that I was going to share by notes still come out, but maybe in a different way. By the way, you know, it's really something to walk in here and to see Jill and Craig and to be greeted by them. Isn't it? It's quite a treat. What a blessing. I feel that these guys, as well as Jeff and Deb, and Carol and I, are three peas in a pod couples who I hope all of us would say that the things we're going to talk about today are the things we really thank God for. By the way, I was here last week. What did I preach on last week? Anybody remember? Wait a minute. You got to say that louder. What was it? What was my key verse? Oh, Galatians 2:20. How does it go? Okay. Good for you. How many of you weren't here last week? Yeah, okay, you're off the hook. Holy cow, that's two-thirds of you. Wow. Wow. Okay, I'll preach it again. But I do want you to know that part that goes, and the life that I now live in the body, listen to this, I live by faith in the Son of God. That is the most amazing thing. And as we live by faith in the Son of God, His love and His life begins to flow through us. I mentioned my son David, who is gay. And the difference that is slowly happening, this guy loves to be with his mom and dad so very much. And you wait and see what happens the next time we come back here. I'll just bet we have more to say. But, you know, having said that, because I only have one string, I can only preach on one subject, and that has to do with God's goodness. And so my variation on that theme today will be, I want to preach about the happy God. I just want you to know that you need to know that the God we worship, the Christian God, is a happy God. Now, I use the word advisedly. I don't want to use joyful or anything like that. You know, I get tired sometimes of seeing the Jesuses that they have in Hollywood movies, you know, like he never raises his voice, he never lowers his voice, he's just kind of mythic. But I want you to know, I like the earthy sound of happy. I like it. As a matter of fact, I like to meet happy people. Don't you? You know, it's an interesting thing. Gateway Church, we left about 3 years ago. It's been fun to come back and see how they're doing, and they're doing fine. But all this year down in Arizona, we were hearing about this new associate pastor named Tyler. Oh, Dick, wait until you see him. You're going to like this guy a lot. And Tyler. Very interesting. Jeff and Deb and Carol and I went down to Farmer's Market on Saturday morning, 7:30. And it was a great time walking around there. Afterwards, we just listened to a string quartet play the music of heaven and thought, holy cow. they're right out here on the street. So, of course, I gave them $500 and their violin case. And just about that time, a bicycle comes up. And this big giant of a guy with a big red beard and a big eye gets off. And he says, "Hi, Jeff." And he turns to me and says, "Hi, Dick. How are you guys?" I look at Carol and I said, "Honey, I know I've got a bad memory. I don't remember ever meeting this guy. How do you say back? What do you say back to, hi, Dick? Hello?" Anyhow, he said, "My name's Tyler." I said, "How do you know who I am?" And he said, "Well, I've seen your picture 100 times. I thought, so we talked a while. And you look up at this guy, and when you leave, you find yourself saying, "Wow, where did that breath of fresh air come from? Who is this guy? He's happy. He's happy." I would be drawn to a place where he was. By the way, let me tell you some good news. It really is good news. Craig and Jill are happy. How blessed to have a happy pastor. I mean the kind of pastor who would be like Jesus if he saw a bunch of boys playing soccer would soon be in the game and having a ball, wouldn't they? I'm sure he would. Okay, let's test it. Just see what happens. Okay. Okay, you know, this happiness by the way, when is the last time that anyone accused you of being happy? You know, there's a little British girl who was praying to the Lord and said, "Lord, make the bad people good and make the good people happy." It's really true. You know, it's hard to talk about this sometimes because some people will think you're belittling the pain of life. The fact that Jesus was also a man of sorrow. But I'll tell you, you must never forget that who Jesus is in relationship with his Father, as has just been pointed out today, is that he was happy to be not only the son of his heavenly Father, but to be doing his will, which was kingdom building. What a wonderful kind of work to do. So we want to look at the happy God. Just a couple of verses to whet your appetite. It's very interesting. Matthew starts out in chapter 4 with this famous verse. Jesus went throughout Galilee, this is verse 23, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, bringing healing every kind of disease. News about him spread all over Syria. By the way, Syria was the whole of the coastline of the Mediterranean, not modern-day Syria. It was everything all the way down to Egypt. But I'm amazed at this. Large crowds from Galilee followed him everywhere. What kind of a man was he? I think of what the Bible says about a happy guy. Going back to the Old Testament, this is from Psalm 30. It says this. Verse 11 of Psalm 30 says, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth. Clothe me with joy that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." Oh, don't you love those verses? It's turned my wailing, my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, clothed me with joy. I like what the New Testament says, so many passages, but just one in Romans 5, this familiar verse where it says, "If when we were dead he in sin, he justified us by, saved us from wrath through the cross, how much more being reconciled, we've been saved through his life." And then it says in verse 11, "And not only this, but also we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation." Here's my thesis today. My thesis is this. If everything that Jesus offers us, if everything that God offers us, like his love and his goodness and his comfort, if everything he offers us produces happiness, that happiness must be what he is. What he is, because he's always love, he's always goodness, he's always comfort. That means he is always happy. And you begin to think this through and you say, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Perfect. We have a happy God, and his name is Jesus. Wow. You know, I want to just share with you two stories. I did bring them with you, with me. Well, one of them is a story of a prostitute, and it's an unusual story. It goes like this. A prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told me she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old, to men interested in kinky sex. She made more renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own in a week. She had to do it, she said, to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. For one thing, it made me legally liable. I'm required to report cases of child abuse. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last, I asked her if she ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. "Church," she cried. "Why would I ever want to go there?" I was already feeling terrible about myself. They would just make me feel worse. Wow. This was, I think, Philip Yancey who said this. He said, "What struck me about my friend's story is that women, much like this prostitute, fled toward Jesus." Not away from him. The worse a person felt about herself, the more likely she saw Jesus as a refuge. Has the church lost this gift? Isn't that something? I'm impressed with Jesus. There's another story. This is a young congregation with one or two exceptions, Bill. But there used to be a woman who would write in the newspaper named Irma Bombeck. Ever any of you ever heard of her? She said this. The other Sunday, I was intent on a small child who was, in church the other Sunday, I was intent on a small child who was turning around and smiling at everyone. If you see a little two-year-old like that, come on, he does that everywhere. Where's a two-year-old there? Okay. He wasn't gurgling, spitting, humming, kicking, tearing the hymnals, or rummaging through his mother's handbag. He was just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him about, and in a stage whisper that could be heard across the country, she said, "Stop that grinning. You're in church." With that, she gave him a belt, and as the tears rolled down his cheeks, she added, "That's better." Returned to her prayers. Irma says, "Suddenly I was angry. It occurred to me that the entire world is in tears. And if you're not, then you better get with the program. I wanted to grab this child with the tear-stained face close and hold him close to me and tell him about my God, my happy God, my smiling God, the God who had a sense of humor to have created the likes of us. What a fool," I thought. Here was a woman sitting next to the only light left in civilization, the only hope, our only miracle, our only promise of infinity. If he couldn't smile in church, where was there left to go? Wow. Every time I read this, I say, oh, wouldn't it be a difficult thing to be a preacher if we didn't have a happy God? Wouldn't it be a difficult thing to try to share a gospel that was not good news? Wouldn't it be awful if the theme of our song was anything less than the kingdom? Wow. Wow. You know, when I think of this happy God, I'm amazed that that was really why people rejected Jesus. You know, that they didn't like his happiness. They didn't like his happiness. One of the most famous passages in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, 12. By the way, chapter 11 and 12 are really important. They're about John the Baptist, remember, Jesus? John the Baptist is in prison. Are you the one, or should we seek another? Jesus told John's disciple to tell him he's healing and doing these things. But then he said, "God bless anyone who isn't offended by me." I wonder what they found offensive, don't you? Well, we know a little bit about it because it says, Jesus himself said, "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge. You didn't mourn. You didn't respond either to trauma or to joy.'" For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.
Wow.
So I find myself saying, if God hasn't made you happy, you're missing something. And you should ask for it. It's your new birth right to be happy. When I say that, I mean from the most difficult days of Jesus, from crucifixion days, and then from resurrection days, we learn something about the way he felt. In Acts chapter 2, I read this. Acts chapter 2, this is Peter's famous Pentecost sermon. He said, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then he says this. He says, David said about him, about who? About the Messiah, about Jesus. This is what David said. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will live in hope because he will not abandon me to the grave. Your Holy One won't see decay. You've made me know the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. You fill me with joy in your presence. You know who said that? Jesus said that. It comes from Psalm 16. If you want to see the original form of those verses, turn to Psalm 16. And it's got a few more thoughts to add to that. Psalm 16, at least in the New International Bible, verse 3, it says, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Wouldn't it be something if you saw Jesus saying that to you? As for the saints, my glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. That's a happy God. That's a happy God. That's the God we come to in tears. That's the God we come to in difficulty. That's the God we come to when we fail miserably. That's the God we come to when our flesh rebels, when the enemy accuses. Our God is a happy God, a happy, awesome God. Thank you for singing that today. I'm blessed by these verses. Let me give you one more, just in kind of a closing thought. This one comes also from that passage that your pastor just read to us in John chapter 17. But in John chapter 17, verse 13, we could start with the words, Father, because this is a prayer. Father, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have a full measure of my joy within them. Oh, so you know what I said? Anybody ever accuse you of being happy? Let me just look and make sure you're all sending the right kind of signals this morning. Oop, I kind of thought I caught. Oh, yeah, even Phil's smiling. Tough time in your life. God bless you right now. We're all praying for you. Boy, you know, this is really something. Happiness is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. You can't pretend you're Tyler. You can't pretend you're happy. But it makes such a difference when you simply allow the joy of the Lord to flow through you. It makes such a difference. Philip Yancey, my favorite author, tells about an awful day 5 years ago where he sat on a Naugahyde, uncomfortable O'Hare airport chair facing a five-hour delay. He was going to a conference, and there was a woman next to him he had just met who was also going to the same conference. So for the next 5 hours, they talked about Philip's new book called Disappointed with God. Have you read about it? And for 5 hours, Philip Yancey is sharing with her how many sad stories there are about Christians in the world. And he just says, I shared all about my own disappointments and traumas and what was happening at home. And she was just quiet. And then she looked over him with this puzzled look on her face. And she said, Philip, have you ever sat down and just allowed God to love you? It's really important. Have you ever just sat down and allowed the love of Christ to sweep over you? Hard times as well as good times. It's really important. It's really important. I know what it was like for me to come across a stranger I had never met named Tyler. And I'll never forget the surge that went through me by him saying two words. Hi, Dick. Oh, we have a happy God. We have a happy God. I just said that the Pharisees were upset with Jesus because he was happy. You know what? I think there are some people in the dark confines of the Vatican who are a little upset with a guy who came to live there about a year ago. His name is Pope Francis. Have you heard of him? What an interesting guy. He usually looks like this. Usually has a big smile on his face, and he's changed a lot of things. Instead of the palatial apartments of the Pope, he lives in the guest house. And instead of driving some chauffeured car, he has a Ford Focus. And everywhere he goes, he looks hurting. The dispossessed loves him, gives him hope. And he even goes to the Middle East and tells the president of Israel and the president of Palestine that I'd sure like to invite you guys over to my house so that we could pray together for world peace. And you know what they both said? We'll come. Who is this guy? We'll come. Who is this guy? This happy Pope. May God use this happy Pope all over the world. Forgive me if you think that's not a good thing for an evangelical to say. I want you to know something. We couldn't stop talking about you guys on our way home last week. We just found ourselves saying, I'd love to visit that church for the first time. I'd love to walk in there and see what happens when people come. What a blessed bunch. Bless this old Sun Prairie community to have New Crossing Church here. You worship a happy God. Don't you ever forget it. Ask this happy God to send that spirit of happiness into your life today, no matter what's going. Jesus could say, the lines of life have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That's Psalm 16. And he could think of that psalm even when he was on the cross. Oh, your God is a happy God. And two. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave us good news to preach. Thank you that you made us ambassadors of a kingdom. A kingdom that is coming. And wherever Jesus is allowed to occupy, the kingdom is here already. Don't let us forget these things, Lord. May we have something to say to those who ask a reason for the hope that is within us. This is our prayer. This is our prayer. I pray, Lord, for someone in this room today who has kind of forgotten how to be happy. May your spirit pour out the spirit of laughter on that heart. These two happy pastors, may they continue to love each other, love this congregation, out of the overflow of the joy that you put in their hearts. We worship you today as the happy God. May we leave this place with happiness that lasts all week long. In Jesus' name we pray.